here, my first time here, and your pastor sent word through Brother Dwight Jackson some time back, next time we come over here, come by, and I appreciate that. And say it in front of everybody, Brother Dwight Jackson was a godsend some years ago when I was so sick and looked like I was going to die, almost did die a few times, and needed help. I went to my men in my church and offered to resign. I couldn't preach. I was sitting on the back row or laying, a lot of times laying back there, and while somebody else did what I was supposed to be doing. And so we agreed that we needed a helper. And Brother Dwight, I have zero negative to say about him and his family. They came, you're grinning back there, I just barely see you. But they were a great, great help to us and stuck around until I got better. I think I'm going to live. And I do have some coffee out there. I usually bring in a table, my mission table, and it's got pictures on it of what's going on down there and a Bible reading record and some other stuff, and then my comedy CD. Did you know I had one of them? Okay, all right. I got two of them. Anyway, I don't have any of that with me, but I do have a big box of Red Bag Extra Fuerte Café del Indio. It's Indian coffee, extra strong. If you've ever had any, I think you'll agree with the package. It is extra strong. If you can't drink it, you can seal your driveway with it. But yeah, I've got some. It's not for sale. I always put it on my table and just put any donation. And I tell people always, everywhere I go, if you're here and you're an adult and you don't have any money, you don't have to give any. You get coffee, get a CD. And the reason I say adult, I was preaching at a place, and pastor's little old boy, about eight, come up, and he said, I need a CD for me and one for my little brother and one for my little sister. It's going to be born next month. And I said, those do cost me a little bit, you know, to get them out here. Y'all have to share a CD. Anyway, I've got the coffee out there, and just after church, I'll bring it in, set it down in vestibule or something. You're welcome to it. Thank you for your giving. God bless you. And I'm assuming that Brother Corwin and some of y'all keeps y'all up to date on what's going on down there, because I see his name on the whatever you call it, the app, the WhatsApp. I don't do Facebook. Turn me up. Okay. But anyway, they've got an app called WhatsApp, and it's just us. And they'll put pictures and videos of what's going on down there, what God's doing. And it's always a thrill to me to see when I'm not there what's going on. I've been 20-something times there. And I've been to Guatemala once. I preached a revival in a big private school. Brother Eugene Baker has a school there that has, I think the number was 745 students and 40-something full-time staff. And he wanted me to go down and preach a school revival. So I preached twice a day, and we had a nice round even 100 people saved by the end of the week. They went around writing down names, and I was glad of that. And I'm not bragging. It's God. It's all God. But my record, I've had 57 saved in one service in Honduras. I've had 50 saved out like in the jungle or out on military base somewhere various times. And people say, what do you want to go down there for? That's what for. That's what for. Now, I'll preach meetings all over this year. And I'm not being a prophet of doom, but it's not likely that at the end of the year I'll have 50 people saved in this country. Go down there and have one service and have 50 saved. So as long as they'll put up with me and as long as I can come up with a ticket, I'm going to keep on going. And it's a great work that the Sumners are doing. It's holiness work. Same Bible down there, same Word of God, same standard, same everything, same spirit. They shout just like we do. They worship just like we do because they got the same thing we got. Yes. Amen. So we'll be headed down there in April. And my grandson, 15 years old, 6'7", size 13 shoes, going for his first trip on a mission trip. He's going with us. My wife's going this time, first time for her in 8 or 10 years. And they're going, and we're looking forward to a great time. Then I'll be back down there in October, probably for 3 or 4 weeks. then. I'm not a full-time missionary. I've had churches offer to support me regular, and I'm not bragging again, but I've told them there are men out there that have left everything to be there. And I tell churches, I hope this don't offend you, I'm preaching here so I can preach there. I hope that's not offensive. I'm not trying to take advantage of you, but I'm not full-time, but I do go, and I love to go. If you want to read with me tonight in the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, and we'll be having a church dedication down there. I think I mentioned that. We're also having an ordination service. We've got several lay preachers, and some of them, we went off one time, went over to Roatan Island, come back. They left the church with a man in charge named Brother Daniel. And when we got back, he was kind of giving a report how the services had gone while we were over there. In a little bit, I stopped him. I said, whoa, say that again. I'm not fluent in Spanish, but he said it again. That preacher's one of my converts.
Wow. Glory.
So I'm going to get to be there and help ordain, lay hands on these men and ordain them. All right, Luke chapter 13, verse 34. In verse 35, Jesus Christ is talking. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. If the Lord will help me, I've got something pretty simple. I never have anything profound. I've got something pretty simple. I left Alabama, went to Missouri, left there and come here to tell you Jesus Christ wants to help you. Anybody here need help from God? I could write you out a list of things that I can't do. Without me, ye can do nothing. He said so. He wants to help you. I want you to put your name in there. I'd like for you to, by faith, get a hold of this simple message and just look up and say, Jesus wants to help me. He's singling me out of a crowd like this. He's singling me out. He wants to help you. Amen. I've had people want me to help them. I hate moving. I've pastored six churches. I have to keep going where they don't know me. But I hate moving. My wife, she ain't here to defend herself. I went out in my shed, 20 feet of plastic tubs, about that deep and that big, of nothing but like Christmas and decorations and stuff. I'm not a Grinch, but I'm in favor of burning all that. We got to move my good stuff. I hate moving. My father-in-law was going to move, and I begged him. I'd done everything but get down on my knees and begged him to have an auction. Finally talked him into it. He was like, whew. He was 80 years old. I knew who was going to move if he moved. He wants to help you. He wants to help you. What do you need? He can do anything. I'm limited in how I can help people. I don't know everything. I'm not able to do everything. I helped these guys down there. They hung, finished sheetrock and all that, and I pushed the thing around where they could work about all I'm good for. The Lord just kind of made me out of spare parts to begin with, and most of them are wore out. So I'm not much help. But Jesus Christ can do anything.
Amen.
Let's look, number one, at the fact of his desire to help. This is not my opinion. This is fact. I will make an help meet for thee, he says to Adam. Adam did not ask for help, but Jesus Christ knew, saw him. He needs help. I'm going to fix a fit helper for him. It was God's idea, and he volunteered to help. That same God is right here in this service tonight with hands outstretched. He's got his tool belt on, and he's ready to help you. Yes. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. God's going to help me. Hitherto the Lord hath helped us. I've been saved 50 years last month. November the 2nd will be 50 years that I've been preaching. Hitherto, the Lord hath helped me. Amen. Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Do you hear him keep saying it? I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to help you. And he's volunteering. It's not because they're begging. It's not because he owes them anything. He's volunteering to help. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel. Somebody has said this great God goes to great lengths to forgive great sinners of great sins after great lengths of time, brings them into a great fellowship, gives them a great life, and eventually transports them to a great heaven to live with this great God. Amen. He's a great, great helper. I read a story, true story, years ago. A little old girl fell under conviction. She was 9 or 10 years old, about the age I was when God first dealt with me. She went to church and she came home and she was in despair. And the dad and the parents saw that she was in despair and said, what's wrong, Edith? And Edith said, I'm such a great sinner that I don't think the Lord will forgive me. They thought that a little bit amusing that a 9, 10-year-old girl, but that's the way she felt about it. But Edith kept going to Sunday school and kept praying and kept coming home. And they'd ask her every Sunday, how's it going, Edith? I don't think God's going to save me. And Edith did this for some weeks. And finally, she come home from Sunday school one day, face all aglow. Amen. Upbeat pace about her. And the dad noticed it and said, Edith, how's it going? She said, Jesus Christ has saved my soul. Can you believe it? He forgave me of all my sin. And the dad said, Edith, what brought about the change? She said, the preacher preached on it right out of the Bible. This man receiveth sinners, and Edith with them. That's me. God goes to great lengths. Amen. Helped a little old girl there. Helped little old Edith to see this man receive the sinners and Edith with them. Amen. He's right here tonight. That very same God right here tonight. It is a fact. It's in the Word of God. I feel it in my spirit. He wants to help you. That's the fact that he wants to help. Number two, the frequency in his desire to help. How many times has he offered his help? He says to Jerusalem, how often? He doesn't put a number on it. He doesn't say it's been this many times, but he says, how often? I can see him looking at the times down through the centuries that he's come to them and wanted to help them, wanted to gather them together like a hen gathers her brood under her. Amen. Often, often, the Bible says rising early. It says that 5 times. 5's the number of grace. God got up before you did. Amen. God got busy before you knew what was going on, and he looked into the day and said, if you'll just let me, I'll help you. Amen. How often would I have helped you? Job says, what is man that thou shouldest visit him every morning? I'm talking about the frequency and his desire to help. It's every morning. When you woke up today, amen, God was right there. You might not have seen him. You might not have felt him. But every morning, there he is. Today, he got up to help you. What is man that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? Right now. In this service. Every moment. When you're getting ready. Every moment. When you got in the car. Every moment. There he is all the time wanting to help. Y'all have a bottle of water? Oh, looky here. When Job asked the question, what is man? Dust of the earth, fallen from grace.
Yeah.
What is man that thou visitest him every morning, every moment? I'd like to answer Job's question. Man is God's creation.
Come on, brother.
He made you. He made you like he wanted you.
Yeah.
You're his creation. You're not just his creation. You're his companion. God put man on this earth for companionship to him. He made Adam and Eve for fellowship with him. You're not just his creation, his companion. Man is his child. That's why God looks down and says, I want to help you. I'm going to offer my help again. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. How often has God tried to help? How often is God going to try to help? It's a daily thing. Every morning. Every moment. This service here, I come to tell you, he wants to help you. He knows what you need and I don't. He knows how to help you and I don't. I've never been here outside of just a few people. I didn't know who attended church here. I was thrilled when Brother Dwight come in. Good to see you, bro.
Yeah.
And then when Sister Elizabeth come in, I was glad. Brother Dwight said, Gabe's around here somewhere. I'm glad to see Gabe.
Yeah.
He said Andrew's playing the piano. Was that? Did
yeah.
I get that right?
Yeah.
Good gracious. I was thrilled. But when I felt God come down in the service,
yeah.
during the singing,
yeah.
during the testimonies, there have been times when I've gone to church as a pastor or an evangelist when I went with two messages and couldn't decide which way to go. And so I listened to the singing. I listened to the
yeah.
testimonies to see which way the Spirit of God was moving. And he's moving this way. He's moving this way. He's got you on his mind. He'd like to help you today. You're repeating yourself a lot, preacher. I want to make sure you get it. It is a fact. He wants to help you, and he wants to help you often. And that's how the frequency, many, many times every day, standing with his hands outstretched, let me help you. There is the fervency in his desire to help. I've helped folks do things my heart wasn't in it, like moving. I'm doing both right now at the same time. I'm living in a house I'm remodeling. You don't know a good marriage counselor, do you? He'd make a living amongst the holiness people. The fervency. He really wants to help. We see him one place standing outside the city, probably up on a hill looking down, and he wept over Jerusalem. He wept. It's in his heart. He's not saying, okay, I'll help you. Let's get this over with. I got better things to do right now. In his heart, he's looking at every individual in this church and saying, if you'll just let me, if you'll just let me. There's the song says, if you move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Amen. Jesus Christ right now looking down into your heart and your mind and saying, I really want to help you. Amen. He wept over Jerusalem. He is asking to help. He has the knowledge. He has the ability. Now, please hear me out. Don't walk out on me yet. The Lord gave my wife a dream. 1982 or 3, somewhere along there. God gave her a dream. Sit tight. And in her dream, she dreamed that I was being unfaithful to her. Hang on. God gave her that dream. She got out of bed, went in the living room, fell down at the couch, and cried and prayed for hours. And after hours, she prayed it through, and God spoke to her and said, it's not you, it's her, and her, and her. And God let her, she said, why did you show me in a dream that Ronnie was being unfaithful to me? And God said, I wanted you to know how these women feel so you can pray for them and help them.
Wow.
After a while, things got to go, and Mary Beth got in the car and drove to the first woman's house. And she let her in and said, I'm here to tell you, your husband's running around on you. God showed me in a dream. The woman broke down, cried. She just found out last night. She said, who told you about it? She said, nobody told me. God showed me in a dream, and I know how you feel because I wrestled with it for hours myself. Amen. That's God trying to help that woman. She left there, went to the next woman, and told her the same thing. Here's three women that are going through it. I can't think of anything worse than having an unfaithful companion. I'd rather die. I'd rather my wife had died. And God looked down and saw these brokenhearted women. Amen. Saw these women abused and scorned and said, I'm going to help them. I'm going to put forth special effort. They haven't even called on him yet, and yet God has already given a woman a dream and showing how you can help. The fervency with which he wants to help, he really, really does. Now, I'm going to try not to kill my own sermon here. I want to show you three more things. Number one, the denial of his help. He says, how often I would have, ye would not. You refuse my help. Pushed his hand away. I was having revival years ago, and a young girl came to the altar crying and praying. My wife got down beside her, praying with her in a little bit. I'm just going to call her boyfriend's name Charlie. That wasn't it, but she was praying. And Mary Beth heard her saying, it's Jesus or Charlie. It's Jesus or Charlie. And over she cried the puddle of tears on the altar and kept saying, it's Jesus or Charlie. Mary Beth said, take Jesus. Take Jesus. Don't put anything ahead of Jesus. In a little bit, this girl got up, not violently, but pushed my wife back and left the altar and went and sat by Charlie. How often I would have, but ye would not. His help denied. I mean, I didn't get saved first time God dealt with me. I'd give anything if I could go back and do it again. Hey, man, if I could do it again, I wouldn't have the scars. I wouldn't have memories. There's all kinds of, I'd have been benefited so much in this life if I'd have got saved right before I went in the fourth grade. I can remember the time God dealt with me, and I pushed it back. There's a woman years ago, kin to me by marriage, and she got out, backslid. Her and her husband broke up, and children got scattered everywhere, and she became such a wicked woman of the world. And her son was 17 or 18 years old, went to her and talked to her and said, Mom, I can't believe after you're raising, after you're taking us to church, that you're living like this. And he said, Mom, one of these days you're going to grow old and lonely. She laughed and said, Son, I'll always have a man around the house to do this and that. And I'll never be old and lonely. But one night, drunk, fell asleep with a cigarette in her mouth and set her bed on fire. And they come, got the fire put out, and carried what looked like a marshmallow that had been dropped in the fire to the hospital. She lingered just a few days and left out of here. Cousin of mine, as far as I know, she never regained consciousness. She pushed the Spirit of God away. The Spirit wasn't rebuking her. The Spirit wasn't scolding her. Jesus Christ was not doing anything negative to her. He's trying to help her, and she would not. We've all been guilty. If you turned him down even one time in your life, you have been guilty of that. Now, I was preaching Brother Randy Webb's pastor appreciation some years ago, and there's a man come every night set to, in this section of pews here, three or four or five rows back, had a pair of overalls, had a beard down to here. And he sat there every night. And when I'd get up to preach, he'd lock in. I mean, eye contact. He'd never look away. He's taking in everything. And I reached for him time and time again. And I've not had a lot of these kind of experiences. But one day after, during the middle of the meeting, I was down praying, I was seeking God. And all of a sudden, I saw him in his pew. His wife sitting beside him. I saw him right there. Saw the shirt he had on, everything. And he was looking at me, and I was preaching. And all of a sudden, just like down out of the ceiling, came a glowing white hand and arm of light.
Glory. Yeah.
Right down in front of him and stuck its hand out, just like I'm doing to Brother Dwight right now. And the man in my, I guess, vision looked at that hand, looked back at me. And I preached. He looked down at the hand again, and it was like reaching for him. And he looked down at that hand two or three, four times. It's been years ago now. And finally, he just turned his head away, and when he did, the hand left. It went up. I got up that night.
Come on.
I started my sermon. I kept trying to preach. I couldn't get away from that. And finally, I just quit. And I said, sir, you right here, I don't know your name. You've been here every night. You've paid attention. You're a great man. I love you. And then I told him what I'd saw. And I mean, all over that building, people fell out of the pews and got down the floor and was praying and crying and begging God for mercy. And the man sat there and did just like I saw him. Looked at me, looked down, looked at me, and finally just put his head down. He was not coming. He'd made up his mind. Jesus Christ was saying, how often, every night during this revival, in different times before the revival started, I stretched out my hand. And no man regarded, ye would not. As bad as he wants to help. Are you recording this? Okay, it's fine. It's fine. I'll just be careful. Holiness preacher's daughter, kin to the family, got out, backslid, made it famous. Wrote a country song and sold it to one of the big boys for $10,000. It became number one country song that year. It's been 25 years ago. I've never heard it. I don't listen to country and western music. People say, so-and-so wrote that? Yeah. Yep. Well, that's quite, I don't know. I ain't heard it. She come to a fellowship meeting where I was at, and the Spirit of God moved. And a woman that's deceased now, I preached her funeral, one of the most godly, spiritual women I ever knew. If I called her name, you would know her. Got up, walked across the aisle to the pew behind this young girl, 21, 22 years old, and leaned over and was talking to her. And the girl started shaking her head and crying. She reached up and got a hold of the pew in front of her, and you could see her shaking as she struggled against the help of God, as she pushed the Spirit of God back, as God strove with her and wrestled with her, and she kept trying every way to get away. And finally, she leaned around and said, I just signed a contract with a major country and western singer, performer, and I can't get out of that contract. There's no way out of it. I can't come right now because I've got to honor that contract. And this woman's reared back, and again, you'd have to know her, and she begins speaking in tongues real forcefully. We would call it a message in tongues. On the platform, my father-in-law, who could not hear the conversation, said, thus saith the Lord. You have said that I cannot help you. And that's what she was telling. God can't get me out of this. I've got a contract. You have said that I can't help you. Amen. And invited her and wooed her and drew her. She would not come. And at the end of the interpretation of tongues, the Spirit of God said, and if you will serve the Prince of Darkness, then you will be with him where he is. Help. Denied. God didn't deny her. She denied God. That's been 40 plus years ago. She's still an entertainer, studio musician, can wear a bass guitar out. I mean, talented, but the denial of his help. I went to a guy that was attending my church on Sunday mornings. Him and his wife busted up. I went to him and said, please let me talk to you. Oh, he said, I can handle this. I'm man enough to take care of this. You don't know what you're doing. You're fixing to make a lifelong mistake that's going to follow you into eternity. Oh, I can handle it. I can take care of it. I don't need any help. I felt I wanted to cry.
Come on,
being from a broken home. I said, but you don't understand. Let me show you some scriptures. Let me talk. Oh, I don't need any help. I can take care of this. Help denied. The denial of his help. The desolation of rejecting his help. Verse 35, your house is left unto you desolate. Why? You pushed me back. You wouldn't accept me. And then last off, there is the departure of his help. Proverbs 1, 22 through 30. We can quote most of it. Because I have called and ye refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You would none of my reproof. Therefore, when your calamity comes like a whirlwind, I will laugh. You'll call on me, but I will not hear you. There comes a point, and I don't know when God does this. I'm not sure why God does it, but there comes a point after a while where God says, okay, I tried. I tried every day. I renewed my mercy every morning. I tried you every moment. I sent the Spirit of God into the service. I got in your car with you. Amen. I followed you to bed. I set my pulpit up at the foot of your bed and preached to you while you were trying to go to sleep. And all of that, you pushed me away. Okay, I'm going. My father-in-law, some of y'all remember Charles Barnett, was dying. He's on his deathbed in the living room of his home. We were tending him, taking care of him. And in a little bit, he got talking to Claude Ely.
Wow. Tell it.
Yeah.
Tell it.
I heard him when he said, Marvin! Marvin's his grandson, got murdered 20-something years ago.
Wow.
Got saved on Sunday, got murdered on Wednesday. He said, Marvin, we couldn't see it. He could.
Come on, preacher.
In a little bit, he said, look at people. They're going to hell. They're going to hell. Watch them. In a little bit, he said, there goes Joe Stidman. You don't know him. Joe's a backslider in our area. Good friend of mine. He said, there goes Joe Stidman. He's going to hell.
Oh, no.
Charles Barnett was a godly, spiritual man. He died. My wife went to visit Joe Stidman, relative of hers, and said, Joe, Jesus Christ loves you so much that he interrupted my daddy while he was talking to Claude Ely, his grandson, various ones, and saw you going to hell, and I've come to tell you about it. And Joe Stidman went to church that Sunday and fell on his knees and got saved. Still attending church there. Amen. I don't have any spiritual revelations right now. I ain't had no visions, ain't really heard a voice from God other than I come here with a burden and a message, and I come to tell you he wants to help you.
Yes.
Would you stand to your feet? God bless you. I appreciate your attention so much. Would you agree with me right now that the Spirit of God is moving and dealing? And again, I don't know you. He said something about visitors. I don't know if visitors are saved, visitors or not. And I didn't know you'd be here. But he did. He knows the end from the beginning. He knew you'd be here. And he wanted you to know one more time, I want to help you. Amen. Somebody come play for us. Are you going to come? You wouldn't physically push him back. But when you turn your head, when you say not now, that's a no. That's not a yes. When you say maybe, that's a no. Anytime you don't obey his calling, that's a no. You need to come. Would you come? Is anybody here? He wants to help you. We're not going to scold you.
Yea, I, the Lord, have spoken unto you this night. I have stretched forth my hand for thee. Will thou yield? Will you come unto me, that I may love thee and forgive thee of all of thy wrong? I watch thee. I search for thee. And I call thee this night to come unto me, saith the Lord.
How rich is the mercy and the grace, the Spirit of God in this place right now. All for you. All for you. Would you come? Would you come? We'll pray with you. We'll stay here till you get what you need. Would you come right now? Oh, my. Come on, seek the Lord. Come and seek the Lord. He wants to. His heart goes out to you right now. For you to come and be saved. Come and get the help. Whatever it is, salvation, help, strength, deliverance. He's got it. He's got it. Come on, while the others are coming, come on right now. Come find your place. Come seek God while He may be found. He loves you, wants to save you, wants to help you.